Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Will T and myself, Bole. And we are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. The homie Ray Jeezy is out. What is good, Will T?
Good, man. Just living carefree, hair free, you know.
Yeah, you got to tell the people about this bush, bruh. The real thing's popping out here in the streets, dude.
Yeah, man. Just letting my hair, flow.
I don't think they ready.
I'm just letting it flow, you know what I mean? 40 plus with a bush. You know how that go, baby. Not a lot of people could do that.
You know? Yo, if real talk, man. Like, at least you can grow your hair. I can't grow hair no more, bro. Just saying. Sometimes you just got to keep all your 100. Like, I can't even grow hair no more, man. I'm about, like, the streets is real, man. Streets talking out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at Joe, it's like, dang, your hair can grow like that?
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I miss the day.
This
like,
is that true Nigerian quality hair.
Oh, now you use the card, though? Now you're going to get it. Last week it was a little different. It was different like a week ago. Oh man, I used to have dreads, man. Those were the days.
Yeah, I mean, you peaked early. You know,
I peaked early.
You got to wait till 40 plus, then you grow the dreads. No, you think I'm gonna grow dreads or grow my hair out? Come on, man. You know me for 20 plus years.
I know you're not, dude. But still, though, it's a good life. You got a pick. I haven't seen a pick in years. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's all I was saying. I personally haven't seen a pick in years. I'm looking at your draw like, damn, my man got a pick. Dang. Like, man. I would have, dude, I ain't gonna lie, if I could grow it here, I would grow it. I'm hating, I ain't gonna lie, I'm kind of hating. This is real, I am giant.
I mean, you can always go to Istanbul, you know.
And the little stuff.
Turkey, yeah, Turkey, go to Turkey, get the
transplant.
Get that Mayweather package.
That's what he did?
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
Yeah, someone told me I could do something about my hair, like, you know, I mean, I'm going get in detail.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah, there are some, like, wild stuff. Mike Bibby back in the day.
Yeah.
That dude. Yeah, I know. Some weird stuff. I'm kind of like Chris Webber. I want to know if that's like legit.
No, I mean,
Webber's legit.
I mean, yeah, it's legit.
LeBron too, though, right?
I mean.
But I feel like LeBron's like hit or miss. I don't know if he got good person.
I don't think he does the maintenance. You know what I mean?
The proper maintenance. I don't think so either. Because the days where you think, oh, how he get hair? Then all of a sudden, oh, you bald.
Money can't buy everything.
I know, right? Even though you're a billionaire, right?
Exactly.
Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kine, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, do not forget to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as the other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson Jr. being shot during a carjacking and the Commanders cutting their roster down to 53. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Washington Nationals young pitching arms. Dulles District's Stephen Newman will join us to discuss this. And finally, we'll talk with Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show In the Ring with Al Jones about the ESPN's pound-for-pound rankings.
You know what's funny?
What's up?
When you said Al, I thought you were
I knew you would.
I was about to say, why the hell are we having Al talk about ESPN?
I know, right? I ain't gonna lie. I thought, look, when I was typing, I was lying. Like, these folks are gonna think I'm talking with my brother. I know this.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell are we gonna have Al on talking about ESPN boxing?
That fool won't be talking about no boxing. We talk about all types. He probably talk about boxing and gambling. Here we go. All right, man. Washington, some sad news, but it ended up being lucky, right? Or be a blessing, and you know what I mean? Because it could have been worse. Washington Commanders rookie running back Brian Robinson Jr. was shot multiple times out as the victim of an attempt carjacking up at Crab Boss up in Northeast 8th Street. Have you been there?
I've been
to
one Temple Hills,
man. I've been to one not in PG County, not the one in D.C.
You've been to the one in PG County in Brandywine.
Yeah, in Brandywine. Sorry, Brandywine. But not the one in D.C. I heard it's like... Is it big? Have you drove by it before?
Yeah, I actually go to the Whole Foods that's on 8th Street.
Is it big?
It doesn't look big,
right? I thought not. All right, man. First off, what were your thoughts of what happened, man?
How were the fries at Crab Boss?
Yo, you know what? It ain't bad. I liked him better. All right, so I'm going to be real. Because, you know, he used to, like, just drive out. He had a car. He used to give out food. No, not give out food. But he would sell out his car, right? You had to catch him on social media. See, he'll be like, I'm over here.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It was good. I like that better than his actual restaurant.
Okay.
I ain't going to lie. Yeah. I like that more. But I heard a lot of people love it. I'm not hating. It's a black-owned business.
I've never gone. But, you know, I've heard that it's popular and people enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a brunch spot now, right?
I'm not going to lie and say I know.
I want to say it's popular. You know what I mean? It's one of those, like, kitchen crave type stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, it is what it is. But, yeah, man, your thoughts on when you heard the news, man?
Saddened.
Yeah, right. I mean,
saddened because, you know, as a young man with a lot of potential, new to the area, starting out his professional career, probably is... You know, well, we all know that the practice facility is out in Ashburn.
Yeah.
You know, decided to venture into the city, see the sights. So saddened to hear that. Also saddened to hear that it was two young African American males, teenagers to be exact, that attempted the carjacking.
And stolen car from PG County.
And they stole a car from PG County, man. I'm not going to go into my thoughts on crime in PG County and the D.C.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it focused on Brian Robinson.
You. Yeah.
But just very sad to hear. I did, you know, was watching the news prior to coming to, prior to the show when I saw that he did return to Commander's training facility today. He's out of the hospital, so bless up to him. Hope he has a speedy recovery, and I hope that this incident doesn't deter him from from the community of D.C. You know, because he looks to have a very bright future in D.C. and based off of what we hear and what we, you know, some people saw during the exhibition games, he looks to be like an integral part for this team for possibly for years to come.
Yeah, and you know what, I ain't peep. You wearing an Urban Sports Team shirt? I got an AMP game. I'm slow to the game right now.
You are, man.
You know what I'm saying? But nah, you know what? Like, I agree with you. Like, I hope he doesn't like fray on like with the sticker. I don't know what the sticker's on. But
donated blood today.
Oh, we did too, my man. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm like you. I just hope he doesn't like look at the city as something negative. You know what I mean? Like, this happened, and it sucks, man. Because like, as an individual, like I was telling folks on social media, like, you know, some people are yelling on, you know, these folks in D.C. they wilding, and I'm like, all right, man. It happens in multiple neighborhoods. I don't like cold words, but you know what I'm saying. It happens in a lot of neighborhoods, right? A lot of the stuff not reported, but it happens in a lot of neighborhoods, right? And areas. I don't care what your demographic is. It happens. But also, you know, like, I don't want him to feel like, you know, that you know, D.C. is dangerous. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, that's D.C. my is dangerous.
I mean, it is. We know it is. It's always for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. You know what I get it. Certain
but
sections,
that's city, though. But that's city. That's city life. You know what I mean?
But that's look at the crime in PG County. I don't want to turn this into, you know, one of those episodes. But
I get you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the DMV of the...
Look, man, I got last... year I got stuck up at gunpoint. You know what I'm saying? So like, we both handled it differently. I'll give Brian Robinson. You heard the story before.
He fought back.
when my situation happened, I threw my wallet. Hey, you got it, bro. This shall pass. I'm gonna live another day. Because at the end of the day, this is how this is not to laugh at it, but you know, I explained. We were talking. We were rapping about it. Even when that happened to me, I was like, you know, I could tell the kid didn't want to shoot me. He didn't want to shoot me. He just wanted to come up, right? So, you know, they just wanted to come up. And, you know, and not to say, I'm not saying things, but that's how it is. So, to me, I didn't want to give him the mindset of, all right, well, now I got to do something because you're going to fight me off or whatever. So I knew, for me, that was the situation. You know what I'm saying? This dude, they try to get this man whole whip. So I get it. You know what I'm saying? So I get it. But, yeah, man, I just don't want him to think that you're a rookie. You're coming from another area to D.C. I just don't want him to think that, all right, everywhere is like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar. Like I told you, I'm familiar with that part because I actually go to the Whole Foods that's on 8th Street.
I used to go to A&P's up that side.
Be honest with you, actually, I was there earlier that morning. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I definitely won't be going to the Whole Foods on 8th Street. Needless to say.
Look, man, I don't go at the place. I still go to that place.
Yes, you do. Stop lying.
I ain't gonna lie. I still go. Man, I go to a gentleman's spot every once in a while back.
Listen, there's a difference between a gentleman's spot and what that place is. That is straight out of Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
There's a difference, bro. Huge difference.
But anyway, just say I don't go there late at night. I wouldn't go there late night again. You know what I'm saying? And the way that situation happened. But yeah, man, I'm glad it looks like he has an opportunity to have a healthy career. They shot him in his leg. They didn't shoot any big knee ligaments.
No, you know not that. I mean, details haven't been provided of exactly where he was hit. It just says lower body extremities.
Yeah, but they came out and said it didn't hit no ligaments, any central ligaments. But still, at the same time, you still had to get surgery. So it still hurts. You know what I mean? It's still like it's a process. You know what I'm saying? I would say my recommendation, if he was ever listening to the show, would be like, don't rush it. I know you feel like you want to get back out there. He was going to be named the starting running back, but there's no need to even, don't press yourself, bro. Like, you're young. Like, there's no need to force yourself to come back out there and try to, okay, I gotta show that I'm ready to take over this squad. You know what I mean? Like, nah, chill out.
Take your time, man. Get healthy. Uh-huh. Get your mental right. Get your spirit right.
I agree.
And then, you know, when it's time, this team isn't going to the playoffs this year, so you'll have time to come in and be.
See, this is real. This is real.
And to be an integral part and be able to contribute.
We don't know. The schedule, we don't know how the season's going to go.
Okay.
I think this team has a chance to go to the playoffs, though. But that's neither here nor there. We'll see how. I like to say, give me week one. That's how I get a good indication of how the season goes.
I hear you, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Because the NFC.
Week one is who?
Jacksonville.
Okay, yeah, all right.
The NFC.
That's a real test.
The NFC's weak. The NFC's not. It's not the AFC. Anyway, man, we out. We off this topic. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team, part of Empire at AmpireMedia.com. All right, so
Washington got down to 53 man roster today. Yeah. All right, are you surprised by any of the cuts?
Nah,
really. No, you take too long.
The only surprise that I mean, there's a couple maybe. The one I'm really surprised is, you know, local product, Patterson. Jared Patterson. I thought he played well. I knew it'd be an uphill battle. You can tell how preseason games are, you know, where you are in the depth chart when you play. But the last game, I thought that he had a good opportunity to make the team, especially what happened with Brian Robinson. I thought that maybe he would have an opportunity to make the team. But everybody else, not really.
Your thoughts, and this is just a very, just for the sake of keeping the conversation going, but they acquired Wes Martin. Kind of later.
They cut him too.
Yeah, and they cut him. Did you think that surprised you at all because they had brought him back so later into the training camp?
I thought it surprised me, but I think they wanted to get intel from Jacksonville.
You really think so?
Yeah.
That's possible.
Why even consider it? Yeah, like, he's going to be, it's not interesting to help they can stash him on a practice squad, but I'm like, why bring him in? Because he played on your squad. You know, you drafted him.
Yeah.
Why bring him in, then cut him? Like, I don't know. It was kind of iffy to me. That's weird. I was like, did you need a body that bad for, like, the last preseason game?
Possibly.
But it just happened to be the team that you're going to play in week one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, sitting in that situation, I'm like, that didn't make that much sense to me. I thought that was like, all right. But in terms of everybody else, I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people talking about Khalik Hudson, who they drafted out of Michigan. I'm like, man, I'm gonna tell fans this. I'm a Michigan fan. I seen him play in Michigan. He wasn't the one.
Okay.
He wasn't the one. All right. Danny Johnson. A lot of people were like, Danny Johnson, he got cut.
Mm-hmm.
They thought he should have made the team because there's no lack of depth in the cornerback. If you watch him in preseason, that dude was getting fried. in preseason.
So you know, I'm like, I didn't watch any preseason football this year, man.
Yeah, and not at all. Not and you're not like a local, not
at all. All. It's man. Just, I mean, it's it. You know how, and I guess this is the second year of only three preseason games, and you know people are so programmed to the third preseason game previously when it was a four game schedule, to being the main preseason game to watch and pay attention to. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I did some reading and I never picked up that any team was going to play their starters for like a half or anything like that. So that's probably why I tended to just not watch any preseason football.
Because it was so inconsistent with that.
Yeah.
They were so inconsistent with it. Even this team, like they played the second game. I guess they played like not even played the whole first half. I guess like this whole thing of limiting preseason to three. And it used to be four, and like the third game used to be the dress rehearsal game. They used to play like a whole half. Now everybody's like, they don't even care about playing. There's in any of those games, they may not even play. Like they really don't care about the starters. They don't care about the starters playing preseason.
It's one of those things for me. It's like I have to ease myself into the NFL season, right? Because I didn't, you get that third preseason game where you're excited to watch starters and, you know, and even for this team, right? There are a couple of reasons you wanted to see the offense play a full half with Jahan Dotson and, you know, with
especially
Brian
Carson,
Robertson
especially
and
Carson
Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
So you had those reasons.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it never happened, never played out that way. So I guess when week one of the NFL football season comes out, won't know anything like everyone else.
I mean, I want to know because of fantasy football. You want to see it because you want to know.
Yeah.
I'm in a money league, bro.
So I'm in a money league too.
See, I'm talking about. Like, I put like two. I dropped like some like 200 or some change in this joint, man. I'm trying to take a bag, bro.
I get it. I understand. I've been. You know, I read.
Yeah.
You know, I read the publications and I read the websites and you know the football insiders and try to get a better understanding of what's going on, but none of us really know what's going on. I do once the season starts, evidenced by my pick record, but most people don't.
I'm gonna give a shout out to my man Eric Jessup. He said, "You need to do more than shoot a commander, or watch the commander take them out." Also said, B Rob got hit through the knee. Yeah, he got hit through the knee, but big ligaments were hit though. He got hit through the knee, so
okay, yeah. All right, okay.
Appreciate you, Eric, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Eric, for that update information.
I'm going to just say, like, in terms of Brian Robinson, he built different. I'll give him that. The fight off like I said, like, knowing that, like, the fight off a gunman.
Well, yeah, I mean, they say, know, that there's a reaction. There's fight or flight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
So.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if it was me, like, I got insurance.
I've spoken to a number of people, and they say, hey, I got car insurance, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people say that, yeah. But some people, like I said, some people built different. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's like, you ain't taking this from me, bro.
Yeah.
You ain't taking this from me. So he built different. That's why I give him credit. Like, dude, you know what I'm saying? He built different. I'm going to give him credit on that one. But I'm saying, if it was this dude right here, though, it's all yours. there's no blame on, I'm saying, there's no blame on Brian Robinson. I'm just saying, if it was me, it is all yours. This shall pass. This is all you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to get caught. What you going to do with that whip anyway? Like, you're going to get caught. That's how, like, you're going to get caught. So I'm like, hey, you can have the whip.
Yeah.
Like, they going to see two, like, dude, you're like 15 to 17. Like, what you going to do with this? They're going to be like, oh, 15-year-old, 17 with that whip? Excuse me, 911?
Yep.
What? Commander was robbed? Oh, I seen these little mugs. That's what I'm saying. Like,
very true. All right. So, what are the strengths and weaknesses of this roster as currently
constructed? Weaknesses definitely. There's no depth in linebacker. There's no depth in.
Corner.
Corner. Definitely not depth. No depth in corner. I would argue to say, in terms of if certain folks went down, there isn't really that much depth at wide receiver other than like maybe four to five, and one of them in terms of creating separation and getting open. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say somebody runs routes because you like them in practice, but I think I've seen enough. I've seen some.
Did they keep
players,
my guy Cam Sim?
Yeah, he's going to be there. He made it. Yeah, he had a concussion. That's why he didn't play last preseason game. So I just don't think in terms of getting separation, if your key dudes aren't there, like something happens with injury, because you can't really rely on like
Curtis Samuel.
Yeah. Because, I mean, off an injury track record, right? Not to say he can't play.
Which not to say that he can't ball. But if you just look at his previous track record, the amount of games that he's in, especially last season, right?
Just keeping a buck. Like, this is no shade thrown to him. You know what I'm saying? Just that, from what you've seen.
Part of the reason why the team drafted Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. You can't trust him.
No.
So, I'm just saying, like, in that situation, my bad, I'm looking at this. Are we good? Now, and that's what you know. I don't trust. I don't think there's no depth there. In terms of, trying to think, defense. In terms of.
What about defensive end? You know, you don't have.
Chase Young. I mean, I was surprised they cut. Now you got me. Now I'm thinking. I'm surprised they cut Bradley King. I thought he had some good stints with play for them when he got in the game during the last couple seasons. Last year. So I'm surprised they cut him. There's a lot of parts that aren't there. But I do think that, you know, they're waiting on certain players being cut on other teams. Because I feel like cutting some of these players that they did cut, like they have to be looking at other players. Like linebackers, like they need linebacker help. You can't go into a season with I like Jamin. Like I am a Jamin dude, but you know, there are some obvious coaching staff doesn't have in my opinion, doesn't have all the faith in Jamin. Mm-hmm. And Holcomb playing now, moving to middle linebacker, right? Like, you can't say, like, all right, you feel good about middle linebacker, especially, again, in your third year when you got a lot to prove. And then, believe it or not, like, they can say whatever, but the coordinator's on the hot seat. Jack Del Rio, Ron is cool. I think Ron is good, but Jack Del Rio is on the hot seat. You got to have
he's the scapegoat.
Yeah, he's going to be the scapegoat if they fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, I would try to get as much talent on the defense as I can, especially what you just said. Chase is out. You know what I mean? That's putting all the pressure on the other defense and in Montez Sweat. He has to be the guy that balls out, and he's going to get a lot of pressure. He's going to probably get double team more.
Montez Sweat's on the fifth year.
It's last year.
Yeah, last year. Rookie contract. Yeah. Yeah.
They extended him. They gave him that last. They extended it. So I'm just saying, like, hey, you got to step up, bro.
Well, I mean, you know, time will tell. You know, that's why there's a lot of excitement amongst most fan bases now, because no one's really stepped on the field for a game that officially counts.
True. I got it. My man Eric has another comment. He says, two kids players thought he could handle them and did take one of the guns. He did take one of the guns, though.
He did, man. Let's not dwell on the negativity, man.
I'm not trying to get on it. I feel like, you know, he a tough one. He a real one, man. I just thought, I ain't gonna lie, he was on some superhero stuff, though. I think we can all, like, kind of have fun with it a little bit, because, you know, he's good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's gonna live a full life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If he takes care of his body right, if they don't rush him, he can get healthy and have an NFL season, a productive NFL season. But I'm just saying, let this be this dude right here.
Built different.
I'm built different. I'm looking like, dang, man, I want to do something tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? No, and it's not, what I'm saying is not like saying like, oh, he shouldn't have done this or whatever. Actually, we got a tweet. Rob on Twitter about the surprise said, Corn Elder, that's the linebacker, said, seems like he was separating from the other depth corners during camp. I think Elder is actually cornerback. Elder's a cornerback. My man Camigo said Jared Patterson. Yeah, a lot of people love Jared Patterson. I think Jared Patterson.
I thought Jared Patterson, I mean, given the running back situation and with Brian Robertson, like, I thought Jared Patterson would make this team, but he's definitely, I believe he's a candidate for the
practice squad. If they can get him.
Yeah.
If they can get him. I don't think that's I think it's easier said than done. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, you could be on the practice squad, but I just feel like that dude plays with a lot of heart. I'm not saying he's going to be a star running back or anything like that. But I'm saying there's going to be some value in a player like him. You know, and this team they don't have a return, man. There's so much this team doesn't have, right?
You're optimistic.
Huh? Yet I am. You are optimistic. I am optimistic because of the schedule. And I do see, and I like to be the unknown. Because you know why I'm optimistic, Will? Know why?
Why?
Because every time on Twitter, right, I bash Scott Turner, right? And everybody gets on me. It's like, you know what? He doesn't have a quarterback. He doesn't have any of the guns. Like, he ain't had the wide receivers, whatever. Now there's no excuse. So my whole thing is I'm just being more positive because of the Twitter beef.
People on Twitter. No, to not at all.
I do believe in giving people a chance. My life is giving people a chance. So I'm gonna give because you do raise fair points about quarterback play. I'm gonna give you an opportunity. Because I actually do like Carson. I don't like Scott Turner. I like Carson. So what is it I'll do? I will give you an opportunity because you're now your quarterback. Your offensive coordinator now has a quarterback to has a real NFL quarterback. So we're gonna see if your coordinator is good enough to win football games. Now you can't say Tyler Heineke. You can't give me that excuse. You can't say Alex Smith with one leg. You can't give me that. You have Carson Wentz, strong arm. In Philadelphia was an MVP candidate. You have that quarterback.
The system did that for him.
But you know, but
I get it. I know
your system is built by who? The offensive coordinator, right?
Right.
So you're telling me that this dude is on that level because I've heard genius. So I just want to say, you throwing the word genius, I want to see it. So
I mean, but that's the great thing, you know, over 17 games
exactly,
rather,
bro.
You know, it'll play out.
Yep, you gotta have it on the field, right?
Yep.
That's what I love. That's why I love sports, bro. No excuses. All gotta be on the field, man. So it is what it is. Hopefully it all pans out for Washington. Anyway, do the Nets have a dominant pitching staff in the making? Dulles District's Stephen Newman will join us to discuss this after the break.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
What? The Urban what?
The Urban Sports Scene.
I ain't you.
You did.
Hey, deuces. Cole, baby! You gotta be a wrestling fan. Hey, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole, part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. The homie Ray Jeezy is out. All right, so right now we have Washington Nationals writer for Dulles District, Stephen Newman, on the line. What's good, Stephen?
How's it going, guys? It's been a little bit. Glad to be on.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you taking the time out to join us, man, to talk some Nats baseball.
Because Will's a Nats fan. You know, Steven, you know I'm an Orioles fan, but we're gonna work this.
All right, Steven. Yeah. First question for you, man. The Nats top prospect, Cade Cavall.
Yeah.
Cade Cavall.
Yeah, you're a Nats fan, bro.
Hey, man, I'm terrible with pronouncing people's
Cavalli,
names.
Cavalli, actually, it's Cavalli. I'm sorry, Cavalli.
K. Cavalli.
Cavalli, yeah.
Made his debut last week. Man, I'm getting tongue-tied with so many words. His debut last week. He lost his debut. What were your thoughts on the outing?
So, I thought it was a really interesting outing. First of all, I was a little, I don't know if I should say disappointed, but a little bit surprised. Because I knew coming into the game that he tended to throw in the minor leagues harder than he ever got to. Like, he topped out around, like, 95, 96. And he's normally closer closer to upper 90s, even 100. But that was the first thing I noticed. And also, I don't know if you guys watched and saw as well, but he was really sweating and struggling to grip the ball the entire game. And I think that definitely impacted his performance as a whole. So I don't know if overall I would say I was disappointed in his performance, just because there were good things to take away, even though obviously he gave up, what, like 6-7 runs, I think.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought there were definitely positive takeaways. He looked like he was mostly in control. He did hit a couple batters, but overall, he seemed like he fit in, knew what he was doing, wasn't overmatched or anything like that. He struck out a fair number of guys as well, but obviously it wasn't what you would have had in mind for the first start from one of your top prospects, the top prospect you'd had for a while up until the Juan Soto trade. But overall, there were good takeaways. It was nice to finally get him out on the major league mound for the first time, just to get that experience. But all things considered, maybe a slight disappointment, but definitely good to get him out there, get that first exposure at the big league level.
All right, let me ask you about a guy who was playing right behind him, C.J. Abrams. What do you think about him so far?
I'd seen mixed reports on him when they first got him, too, like whether he would hit well enough. He hadn't really with the Padres earlier in the season, and it hasn't gotten any better. It's actually gotten a little worse since the Nationals traded for him. But if nothing else, he's definitely a major improvement at shortstop over like Luis Garcia, who they'd had, or even the guys earlier in the year, like in Alcides Escobar, Heath Strange Gordon, guys like that. He's definitely a much more athletic shortstop out there. Definitely, I think, has a chance to at least potentially stick at the position. He'll have to get a little more consistent, but he definitely has the skill set you need to play there, I think. The real test will be whether he starts hitting a little more. Like he's hitting ninth in the lineup tonight, for example, just because he hasn't made enough contact, frankly. But he's still really young. Nats first traded for him. They sent him to AAA just because he was that young. I didn't have much minor league experience at all, so I wouldn't rush to judgment on him per se. But you'd like to see him hit more. But he's definitely shown, particularly defensively, I think the what you're looking for out there in a shortstop. And if he can start hitting a little more, he could really become one of those building blocks moving forward.
Let me ask you another question with regards to some of these young players that have made it to the majors for the Nats. We think of like C.J. Abrams. We think of Victor Robles. You think of Carter Kaboom. Those are three guys who are really highly rated within the Nats farm system. And once they've come to the majors, they haven't really gotten the opportunity. They've been hitting down in the lineup. Do you think that has played into some of their issues, you know, possibly getting them more at bats, hitting earlier in the lineup could help them with their development, particularly at the plate?
I would say that's definitely one route you could go. Just getting them more at bats, maybe some more favorable opportunities too, just with better guys hitting around them as well. Get some better pitches to hit.
Yeah, good point.
My overall kind of sense on where things are is that I'm just overall not crazy about just their institutional player development in general, like from the minor leagues all the way up. They just, there have been a lot of guys, like even your guy Eric Fetty.
That's my guy.
I know all about it. He's even, once he got to like AA, AAA, he started getting less effective. He was supposed to be at least like a number two, number three starter type of guy, and he started fizzling out. And he's never hit that at the major league level. There's countless guys, really, whether it's
Joe
on
Ross
the pitching side, like a Lucas, yeah, Joe Ross,
Lucas
that's a
Giolito,
good one too, like Lucas Giolito, yep. Yeah.
They gotta go elsewhere.
Yeah, there have been tons of guys that
look at Vaughn. for the Orioles now.
And what about the guy they traded to Oakland, the pitcher, I forget his name off the top of my head.
The reliever?
The reliever, Blake Treinen?
No, not Treinen. There's also another guy. I forgot his name. I think he was in the Mets. There are a couple of them, but he was in the Sean Doolittle.
There have been a lot. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's my point. There have been a lot of guys that have had with tons of talent. Uh-huh. They just haven't gotten it out of them. It's one of the things I think that's has me optimistic, just given the ownership changes we're going into. They get a good owner, bring in a better GM, kind of grab the system from the top down, get somebody who's better on the developmental side of things. You'll start seeing, I think, more guys with that kind of upside, like a Victor Robles too. That's another guy for sure. But you'll start seeing them maybe get more out of those high upside guys that we.
Hey,
really
Zeus Lizardo. That's who I was thinking about. Who was traded to?
No, that's a good one too. You kind of fix that, and I think that'll kind of better. I think fix the problems you're talking about with whether it's a Carter Kieboom or anybody like that. It's just they just have like institutional problems on the developmental side of things. I don't know if moving them up in the lineup or anything like that. Necessarily fixes the problem. I think it'd be worth trying, but I don't know if that. To me, I don't know that fixes the problem.
Yeah, they can also get another hitting coach too. But we're gonna go back, stay back in the pitching. So the Nationals have three high quality starting arms in Cavalli, Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore. Could this be the next dominant pitcher rotation for the Nationals? You know, they had Strasburg, Scherzer. You can throw in Gio Gonzalez, or you can throw in, you know, Patrick Corbin. But could this be the next three?
I think it could be a really good three. Mm-hmm. I think when you start talking about a Max Scherzer or Steven Strasburg and throwing your third guy, that's a high bar to live up to. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to me why they can't be like one of the better big threes for a number of years. They're all really young. They'd be together for a long time. Mm-hmm. And like the upside's obvious. Like they all throw pretty hard, especially like a Cavalli. Like they have all the stuff you need. Mm-hmm. A little bit startling, I will say, Cade Cavalli now going on, like he got shut down for something.
Shut down already, yeah.
Shoulder.
Yeah. Inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not the start you want to see. Overall, yeah, I mean, I think they have the talent to be a really solid top three in a rotation for a number of years now. Like I said, I don't know that there's any Max Scherzers in there, mm-hmm. but I think it could be a really good top three in a rotation for sure. And then if you add, even if you add a decent veteran to kind of complement that.
Like a Steven Strasburg.
From a leadership perspective.
Like a Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
If he could stay healthy.
That would do it.
If he could stay healthy, right?
For sure. Yeah. I'm pretty pessimistic on that.
They were like, but, not that BS. I don't think so.
Yeah. But to your question, I do think they have all the makings, I think, of a really strong top three in a rotation for a long time. It's just a matter of hitting on the upside they have and really staying healthy.
So Denny on Facebook says, no, she doesn't think that this three trio can be that type of trio. I actually think they could, and maybe I shouldn't even use Max Scherzer. Maybe I should throw in Jordan Zimmermann, right? Like, that would be a better
– yeah.
Like, Jordan Zimmermann, Strasburg, and whoever. Because I felt like that was a good trio of young in-house dudes. Like, it was those two, and then you could throw in Gio Gonzalez, right? Yep. So those are – like, that to me, that three – like, I think they can have that quality of a rotation. I think that Josiah Gray has shown a lot of potential. I think that you got Gore. He was starting well with the Padres until he had a little funk towards the middle of the season. And then the trade happened. And then you have here – you got Cavalli, who's the high prize of the Nats. I think that you can – those three are something you could build off of, man. Like, you really could. And I just think there is potential. You know what I mean? And Gore's a lefty, right? Gore's a lefty.
Yeah, Gore's a lefty.
So you have, I mean, in terms of a variety in the rotation, I think you have something there. You know, obviously you have to build around it offensively, like Will was talking about, you know, giving confidence to the hitters in that ball, the young hitters on that team, like Carter Kieboom and Victor Robles, Abram, like individuals like that, you got to get confident. That's why I like Dusty so much, is that, like, players like that would do well under Dusty. Like, because Dusty always gave his young hitters confidence. Like, he just had something about, if you were struggling, he would say, you know what? I don't care. Like Will was talking about, he would hit you higher in the lineup.
Yeah, he would.
Like, he would hit you higher. He wouldn't drop you. He would be like, no, I'm not going to give you an excuse. I'm going to believe in you. And I'm going to show you that I believe in you. I'm going to have you hit higher in the lineup. I mean, Ian Desmond did pretty well under Dusty. You know, it's, to me, like.
Michael A. Taylor.
I know that's Will's the guy. Individuals like that under that type of leadership, they played well. You know, a lot, and that's why, you know, people get, you know, they get on Victor Robles. I'm like, I don't, you know, I just feel like it's unfair.
The kid has talent.
I think it's unfair. Like, I just feel like this environment, I think as you look at Juan Soto, the issue is that you were looking at Juan Soto and he wasn't the one. He wasn't, like, ranked the number one prospect. It was Victor Robles.
Yeah.
Right? So when you have a Juan Soto come in and just tear it up, like, he moved through the minor league system. And then he kind of made his name. And then Victor Robles was still rated high. And then he comes in and he's the guy. I think it's pressure. I mean, because they were together. They were together for a lot of time, minors.
If I recall, I don't think Soto tore it up in the minors. I think once he came to the majors.
No, he tore it up. He had 300. He was in 300.
Oh, okay.
He was torn. His last.
Yeah, he did.
He was tearing it up in the minors.
It's funny, too, because that almost speaks to my point about their player development, is that he was in the minors for such a short amount of time that you almost wonder if just the whatever bad juju they have in there just didn't rub off on him.
Yeah, that's true, because he was tearing it up. He got to a point where they couldn't deny him, because they were trying to hold him. They couldn't deny him. He was hitting so high.
We also know who his agent is.
I mean, everybody, once you get good, everybody, that's what you get the bag.
We also know who his agent is. We know that his agent will come hella high water.
Actually, I've looked at this too. I think that's Mackenzie Gore's agent too.
Yeah, of course, he gets the right ones. I mean, if you're good, he's going to get you. Like, let's come on now. Yep. I mean, he has a great track record.
He does.
It is what it is. Like, you could say what he does to this organization and that, or many organizations, to be honest with you.
He pillages them.
Yeah, but he gives you the bag. Like, you can't get mad at if you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Look at the resume. So, Stephen, man, thanks for being on. We know we appreciate you, man. Before we let you go, how can folks catch you on social media, and how can they catch your content?
Yep. So you can catch my content at DullesDistrict.com, D-U-L-L-E-S District. You can catch me on Twitter at Stephen_Newman1. And if you ever want to, at Dulles District, I have every once in a while I'll run a Nationals mailbag, and we've actually set up an email for that. You can send questions to natsmailbag@dullesdistrict.com.
All right, Steven, you know what? I appreciate you. We're gonna wrap. We're gonna talk.
We
about,
appreciate you, sir, greatly.
We appreciate you. Me and Steven, we rap on Twitter, man. That's what we do, bro.
Oh yeah.
Don't try to steal my man Steven from me.
I'm not trying to steal you. I just said we appreciate you.
All right, Steven. We appreciate you, Steven. All right. Will and Wole appreciate you, Steven.
Yeah. Happy to be on. Happy to be on with both of you.
All right, man. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right, man. We'll talk to you again, man.
Yep. Sounds great.
All right. Catch you later. All right. Again, that is Steven. Make sure you follow Steven on Twitter @Steven_Newman1. That's @Steven_Newman1.
All right. After this last commercial break, we will discuss ESPN's ranking of pound for pound. Al Jones from In the Ring with Al Jones will join us to talk about the rankings after the break.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Shh. On Empire Media.
That's empiremedia.com.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. Morris Soto, but tonight.
Come back.
telling Will, man, I got to find another boxing song, man. We've been using LL, bro. You're listening to the Urban Sports Save with Will T. Myself, Wole, and the homie Ray Jeezy is out. But we are part of Ampire Media at ampiremedia.com. Now I'm tongue-tied. What is happening?
I told you, man, it happens.
I don't know what's going on, bro. All right, right now we have Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show In the Ring with Al Jones. What's going on, Al?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me on. How y'all been?
We good, bro.
We're doing good, man.
I always mess with your energy, man. You come in, this thing hot, bro. What are you talking about, man?
We about to always, end- man. You know when we talking boxing, I'm excited.
My man.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm trying to find a list.
Do you want me to read? Like, I mean, you got to do the intro. We got to introduce the list first, though.
I mean, yeah.
All right. Let me do the read. Then you gonna find a list. All right. Okay. Didn't I text you the list?
No, you didn't.
All right. Let me get the list in. Let me give you my phone so you can get the list, bro.
I mean, it would have been nice if you know.
Hey, I apologize, Will T. Look, I got a picture right here, bro. Like, I got you. You ain't got to do that much work.
Here you go, bro.
Here's the list. All right, let me read this part, though. A few days ago, ESPN came out with their top 10 pound-for-pound rankings. Will T, break us down with this.
All right, number 10, Shakur Stevenson. Number 9, Vasily Lomachenko. Number 8, Dmitry Bivol. Number 7, Artur Beavides. Number 6, Tyson Fury. Number 5, Canelo Alvarez. Number 4, Alexander Usyk. Number 3, Errol Spence Jr. Number 2, not even going to try to pronounce that. Inoue. And number 1, Terrence Bud Crawford.
All right, Al, so do you have any issues with those rankings, my man?
I have a lot of issues with those rankings.
All right, break it down, Al. All right, what's your issues, man?
Okay, first and foremost, I first want to begin with ESPN leaving out, not mentioning in this top 10, Javante Tank Davis, Devin Haney, the undisputed champ of the world, Devin Haney, and undisputed champ of the world, Charlo.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Al. Do you feel because, and if you look, I'm just being honest, as you look through that list, there's a high number of ESPN top-ranked fighters that are on that ESPN pound-for-pound list. Totally biased.
ESPN, the audacity for ESPN to put something out like that, I mean, it's just, we can tell where the bias is coming from. Mm-hmm. They're definitely showing favoritism to top-ranked fighters, okay? In which we know top-rank and ESPN are in bed together, okay? Top-rank being the promoter, ESPN being the platform. So we know that they're in bed together, all right? But also to this argument, Ring Magazine came out and did pretty much the same thing.
Did they?
Ring Magazine had Usyk as number one.
Okay.
Inoue number 2. Bud Crawford at number 3. Errol Spence Jr. at number 4. 5, Canelo. 6, they had Lomachenko. At 7, they had Bivol. Then they had the nerve to put Josh Taylor at 8. Charlo at 9, and Berdavid at number 10. Still, and this is Ring Magazine.
And they usually
Ring Magazine is considered the Bible of boxing.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah,
Bible publication of, yeah. For boxing. Let me ask you this, Al.
But check this out. Did you guys hear how Ring Magazine and Devin Haney, which holds the Ring Magazine championship, Devin said he will send the ring. Devin said he's not going to be representing Ring Magazine.
Oh, wow.
And they asked him, Ring Magazine responded to Devin Haney and told him to mail it back in.
Let me ask you this, Al. As you know, we talk about ESPN and we talk about Ring Magazine. These are two, I guess, media companies that we look to, casual fans and diehard fans look to for kind of certification of, you know, top fighters in boxing. Do you think because of the biasness, this hurts these two publications, or does it hurt the sport?
It hurts the sport.
Why do you think that?
Because, for one, everything that Devin Haney ever fought for, every dream that he had, it's kind of a slap in the face when you are undisputed champion of the world and you don't get the recognition that you deserve. When you're Jermell Charlo and you're undisputed champion of the world and you're not mentioned on this list as being pound for pound one of the top 10 in the world, and you're an undisputed champion, not just a regular, you hold the belts, you hold all the king's gold, and they're telling you that you're still not a king.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we had this discussion, you know, on Instagram a little bit, and I was saying that, you know, looking at this list, I was like, you know, I love Shakur Stevenson. I think Shakur Stevenson is a dog. I think he's going to be one of the faces, like one of the main faces in boxing for years to come. But when you're looking at this list, and you're going to be, you know, objective to it. You talk about Gervonta. Gervonta should probably be over at Shakur Stevenson.
Disclosure: we have tried to get the Shakur Stevenson on the show numerous times.
Hey, I'm still trying to get. I'm still trying to get Shakur. I got his PR person. We've been talking. I'm still trying to get Shakur on the show. But this ain't a knock on him. Like, ain't a knock on Shakur. I think Shakur is the next big thing in boxing. Period. I think he's going
to
be like.
He deserves to be on the ring. He's not even mentioned on the Ring magazine top.
Yeah, team. I'm just saying in this list though, when you're talking about people you could take off of the argument, you should put a like Gervonta Tank. And I'm not the biggest Gervonta Tank Davis fan. I think he's a beast, but I'm not the biggest supporter of Gervonta Tank Davis. But I will say he should be over Shakur, who I'm a bigger fan of. I love Shakur's boxing skill more like the Gervonta. But I'm saying, looking at this list, I think Gervonta should be over him.
So let me ask you this question really quick, Al. Do you think because both of these publications, you know, ESPN and Ring Magazine, they haven't kind of quantified or qualified what their criteria is for selection of these boxers? Do you think that brings confusion to the boxing public and to fans? Do you think if they did provide qualifications of why these guys are pound for pound? Because we all know, you know, usually these guys aren't going to be able to fight each other because they, you know, they fight at different weight classes. Do you think that could help with some of the confusion?
Well, that's why it's called pound for pound. But, you know, I would hold Ring Magazine to be a little bit more credible than ESPN. Because of their relationship with Top Rank, they have to protect their interests. Yeah. So it's in their best interest to make sure that Bud Crawford is number one. You know, that's in their best interest.
But isn't Bud about to leave though? Like, I don't even did he leave yet?
Well, one
he
one,
hasn't left yet.
Got you.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he's gone. I think there's still some type of relationship, you know, that they, you know, that Top Rank has, especially, you know, with the relationship with Andre Ward and the relationship with Tim Bradley, you know, Timothy Bradley. So they still have some type of relationship, and those are all boys. Well, is what I'm saying. Bud Crawford, Andre Ward, Timothy Bradley. You know, that's like Andre Ward at one point was managing, you know, they had the same manager, Andre Ward and being with Jay Prince and stuff like that. So who has a lot of fighters now tied with Top Rank. So they're all, you know, they're still cousins, you know, they still all in the same family.
One could make the, one could say that Ring Magazine does have a conflict of interest because it's owned by Golden Boy. Oscar De La Hoya, owns the publication. So there, I think from both institutions, there's multiple conflicts of interest, right? And we kind of, you know, we see how that plays out on both of these lists.
Exactly.
This is wild. Like looking at the list, because it's just to me, like we all said, there's no consistency. And I know that we can go off of like even. So I want to read this on first before I get to that, because it kind of goes to a point that I want to make on Instagram. My man Damien, he posted. He said in terms of the list, he says I got Earl 1, Crawford at 3, but Usyk may move up. So he's deciding on Usyk, how far up Usyk should go. Could he be 1 or 2 or whatever? I'm like, what's your criteria? Because we're looking at resume, right? Are we looking at resume? If we're looking at resume between Bud Crawford and Errol Spence, who would you say has the bigger, better resume between the two?
All day long, Errol Spence has the better resume than Bud Crawford.
So we're all day long. Yeah, we're being like just objective in terms of what we've seen as a fact, right? Wouldn't he be right over Bud? In terms, we're not saying who would win. We're just saying if we're doing a tail of the tape type of thing.
Yeah.
And what you want to say?
No, I was going to take it a little bit further. I could objectively make the point that Usyk deserves to be the number one pound for pound because he was the champion. He was the undisputed champion at cruiserweight, yes. And now he's moved up to heavyweight, and he's and he has a heavyweight strap. Yeah. So,
I think,
but it's all semantics and all subjective.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And see, I had my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I had NOY at number one, Monster, aka the Monster. NY number one. I had Spence at number two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then I had Usyk at number three.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have Canelo at number four.
Yeah.
Charlo at number five.
Okay.
Bud Crawford at number six.
Ooh, okay. It's different. This is, okay.
Devin Haney at seven. Shakur Stevens at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Davis at 9.
Okay.
And then I had at number 10, coming in at number 10, I had Tyson Fury at number 10.
Oh, I hear him waiting. Okay. But you ain't got the boogeyman on there? You don't got Loma? Loma? He the boogeyman. Everybody's scared of Loma.
He's at 11.
Okay. I'm about to say. Hey, I like Benavidez. I think Benavidez is like one of the dudes that is just he's a savage.
I like your list, Al. Would you be open to calling us after every major fight and just updating us with your top 10 list?
Oh, we can have one. Yeah. I like Al's list. I do like Al's list. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like, the boogeyman, folks don't want to fight the boogeyman. That's all I'm saying. Like, even T.O. didn't want the boogeyman after the boogeyman figured him out. Even in that fight, he didn't want that rematch. He knew it was going
to
happen.
Well, I think one fighter wants to. Devin Haney, he said he's open to fighting him after.
I don't like that fight for Devin, but it'll be interesting, though. I like Devin Haney, but I don't like that fight for Devin Haney. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's.
I was like, nah.
I'm going up. After I beat Cambosis,
I'm going somewhere else.
You know, if I can't get in there. After I beat Cambosis again, you know, because the rematch between Cambosis and Haney is October 16th.
Yeah.
After Cambosis, I'm either looking, if I'm Haney, I'm looking at Tank Davis or Ryan Garcia.
Exactly. So I'm going that direction. I'm with you. There's no need to look at the boogeyman. The boogeyman, let him chill.
Right. Strategically, he's going to sit over there until then after I beat one of them and get a couple paydays, get a payday. Then after I vacate the belts, they can fight over.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that, Al. Hey, but Al, man, this has been dope, man. Before I let you go, man, how can our listeners catch you on social media? How can they catch the show, man?
Yes, that's In the Ring with Al Jones on all social media platforms. You can also reach me on IG at AJ In the Ring. Also, each and every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm at 1490 WERE. News Talk and NewsTalkCleveland.com.
Hey, that's dope. Hey, Al, retweet. What you should do is, like, for me, so I can make sure I save it. Just DM me. So DM me that link so I can listen to it. And I can share it with Will. Okay. I give it to Will, too.
And then also, could you give us your top? Because we didn't get a chance to write it down. Could you give us your top 10 so we could, like, keep it and then when the next major fight comes?
I ain't going to write it down. It's too late now. We going to record it.
Okay, that's right. Yeah,
we can record it. We got this, Will. We got this. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Technology. Okay. High five, bro. You know what I'm saying? Good. We got you, Al. We're going to dub this. I'm going to make sure that we have your top 10. And we're going to have you on again. What's the next big fight? That's that's Triple G.
Triple G, Canelo.
Yeah, that's the next big fight. So, yeah.
Triple G, Canelo. You got, also you have coming up.
Devin Haney.
You going to that fight, Al?
Andy Ruiz and Luis Ortiz.
Al, you going to that fight?
Coming up.
Al, you going to that fight? Triple G.
Ortiz and.
No, Triple G, Canelo.
No, okay. Yeah, I'll catch that one on TV.
I'm done with the it's not a trilogy anymore. What is it, the fourth fight?
This is a trilogy.
It's a trilogy now? It's the trilogy.
I'll catch that one.
Trilogy over like 5 years.
Oh, man.
Hey, once again, it's been real, fellas.
We
appreciate you, sir. Thank you, man. Love your energy.
Al, you the man, man.
Okay.
We'll chat, bro.
All right, peace.
All right. Again, man, that is... That's the homie Al. Check him out on Twitter. That's at the ring Al Jones. Again, at the ring Al Jones on Twitter. Hey, man, it's been a dope show. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Before we close it out, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. I'm going to be redundant. Hit subscribe. Then like a whole bunch of videos. And don't be stingy. Just like them. I don't care if you don't really like them. Just like them. All right. And check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Pyre Media, at amppyremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Pyre shows as well as other great content. All right, man. Appreciate you all for tuning in.
Next week, I mean, NFL,
we'll
make our
dope.
Picks.
Yeah, it's dope.
Will T's picks.
Mm-hmm. Man, Will T's picks with the pick. My man Will got a he got a pick. It's like, behold, I have a pick.
I know another podcast will be listening to hear our picks.
Oh, man, you know what? I have to start. Whatever we got. What do we do with them? It's like, who doesn't we're doing the other thing too, right? Not just the fantasy football, it's the...
Elimination.
Are we doing that?
I don't know, man. I mean,
they set it up, right?
They set it up, but right. It should be like Will T and the Urban Sports Scene Invitational, Fantasy Football Invitational, and Pick'em and all of that.
My man Will, bro, I tell you. He said Will T.
Just telling the truth, man.
All right, man. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega. Lead us out, big homie. Deuces.